Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Oh, welcome into Wildcast Studios for another episode of the Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial host for all things Moncton Wildcats, presented by Alpha's Appliance Solutions. Right now, till March 27th, they got the Whirlpool Saver, the savings event. Save $150 when you purchase any two qualifying Whirlpool major kitchen appliances. As always, fan listeners, I am your host, Adam Lund. I am in green with the new sweaters. These things are, if they still have them at the Avenir Center next Saturday, go get them. They are absolutely mint. Love them. And I am joined by your favorite co-hoster, big brother aficionado, Mr. Jeremy Boucher. How was your week / weekend? Did it feel just as long as last weekend?
Well, the weekend was quite occupied. Let's put it that way. I spent all day Saturday and all day Sunday at the Sonaceum. Working at the Greater Moncton Home Show.
Yeah,
so that was quite a, as Borat would say, great success.
Here's hoping the hot tub. Here's hoping I win the hot tub. Okay. My luck, I win a 55-inch TV that I don't need. But here's hoping the hot tub.
The hot tub would be nice. Like I joked to you when you walked by the booth, I said, you know, how great would it be, Adam, if we could record our final podcast of the season live from the hot tub?
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
We'd probably have to raise up the rating on that one from PG to like a rated R. because people would see more than they would want to see.
I'd still be in a hoodie because nobody wants to see this.
Oh, okay.
We just get it edited by Kyle with a spray tan, so we look like we're tan with
shirts and skins. You're the shirts, I'm the skins.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, Avery's been sick since Thursday, so you know, we're trying to fight that back a little bit. And
Layla commented on your wife's picture, but not per se just at Megan, just in fact that she's like, why do parents insistently need to take pictures of their children when they're sick and looking their absolute worst?
Well, you got to save them, right?
Yeah.
Remember when you were 8 years old and you looked like this when you were sick?
Yeah.
I was working. The beautiful wife of mine held down the fort, and she's on the mend. She's feeling better. Little one's feeling better, and she should be back to school, hopefully Tuesday. So she would have been up, when you guys hear this, she'll already be back to school. So
hopefully
that's pretty much what's been going on in my life.
That's a lot more fun than what's been going on in my life. I went to the Sonaceum to walk around, spent $12 to get in to give companies more money. something we never go to because we never had a house. But now that we actually have a house, go and get some ideas, really, I spent $12 to put my name in a bunch of draws to get all kinds of stuff. Hopefully, win the hot tub, maybe the Oilers jersey. At some point, I just want to win something. Big brother,
yes, Canada, sir.
Your
What's
update
up?
Is Bailey still in the house?
So Bailey is still in the house. Yeah. So we got through
one week.
We got through 1 week.
Yeah.
In typical Big Brother Canada tradition, they sent home the mother of the group first.
Right.
It's either the mother or the father of the group first. So Janine, or J9 as she was called in the house, was evicted in week one, unanimous vote. So that should, that was no shocker. I think everybody saw that, that one coming as soon as, Anthony Douglas mentioned her name specifically in his nomination speech. The house guests kind of figured she was the target, and that's who they wanted, or that's who he wanted them to vote out.
Mm-hmm.
New head of household was Spicy V, Victoria. So back-to-back veterans for the head of household competition. The nomination ceremony I have not seen yet. I don't believe it's been aired yet. I kind of been looking at some spoilers. Vivek, my guy from St. John, I think is a clear target, because the way the head of household competition was that each player had a tube, and you would go and fill your mouth up with water and spit water into the tube of who you wanted eliminated from the competition. So Vivek was the first one out. Like, all the girls were spitting water in his tube. So by the look game. By the looks of it, yeah. He is the prime target in the house if he was the first one eliminated from this competition. So, you know, it would suck for my guy to go home week two. But I also checked in on some spoilers today, and there seems to have been a turn in the house where the target's no longer on his back. So I think I'm hoping to be safe going into week three with my boy from St. John.
Perfect.
There you go. There's again, your Big Brother Canada update.
I hope that people enjoy that. I know that there's probably more than a few that actually watch that. And you know the other updates we used to do with the Masked Singer?
Mm-hmm.
You know Kevin Hart was on that?
I did know Kevin Hart was, yeah, it was a joke, though. It was a joke.
Oh, he wasn't in the
It was a joke for between him and Nick Cannon. And he can sing better than that. He just put on a bad performance to be the first one out. So,
well, so he was actually on the show. It wasn't just like
he stumbled
out and took
no,
his
mask. He actually sang. I forget which character he was, but he was actually on the show and he faked his performance because he's a better singer than what his performance was.
Yeah.
As a joke towards Nick Cannon.
That's awesome. All right. Well, we're getting into March Madness, and I don't mean the QMJHL playoffs, although we are getting there. The NCAA tournament bracket has been released. We usually do this annually. I don't think any of us have come at anywhere close to picking. And I thought we could. I said to you off air. Let's you want to actually fill out a bracket and see how many we get right. Not live on the show; that would take forever. But fill out a bracket and just to see how many we get right. But we're going to pick the two semifinals and the national champion. So I want you to pick your East-West team. So the left side of the bracket, who will represent in the semifinal? Who will come out of that bracket?
Okay, so coming out of that bracket, I think it's tough to ignore UConn at this point. I think they've had an extremely stellar season, and they're the number one seed for a reason. I think if anyone can... I guess come close to taking them out. I'd have to go with Arizona. You know, it's just the basketball tradition out of Arizona. I think those are kind of the two clubs or the two schools that I expect to come out of this to this side.
Yep, that's your national semifinal. So who wins that one?
That's tough. It's a toss up, in my opinion. Yeah.
But you got to pick one.
You have to go local, yeah. So I'll go UConn.
Oh, you're going, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go local and a chance to go to the Final Four in Arizona.
Yeah.
I think that's, I'll put the Arizona Wildcats over UConn. I think there will be a few more upsets, but it's usually in this style of tournament, the top two seeds generally get there. Your South and Midwest, who is your semifinal representative out of that one?
Man, I was shocked about this one because I was expecting Memphis to be part of March Madness, but they're not. They did not make the cut, believe it or not. I thought they had their ups and downs this season, but I think they're...
What am I doing asking you? This is the annual Jeremy Picks Gonzaga in the NCAA.
Well, you know what?
Right? Is this where we're at?
This, you know what? The two teams I was going to pick out of this bracket would end up meeting before the bracket final.
Oh, okay.
I was obviously going to go with Gonzaga and Purdue, but I think they're scheduled to meet up in the Midwest. I think it is right.
Sweet 16, yeah.
Sweet 16 in the Midwest. So, I'm going to go with so Purdue. I'm actually taking Purdue.
Oh, okay.
I think Zach Edey, future Toronto Raptor, for all the basketball. Everybody knows how much of a big basketball fan I am.
Huge basketball fan.
Yeah,
that's
my favorite sport.
I'll tell you what. Denny Dorion is listening close and scratching these teams off because he's not putting money on them.
Yeah. So I got to go with Purdue. Zach Edey, I think he's going to absolutely dominate the tournament. Coming out of the South, it's a tough one. I think everybody would be like, oh, take Duke, take Houston. You know what? I'm going to go with... Texas Tech.
The sixth seed.
Yeah.
All right.
Texas Tech against Purdue, with Purdue going to the final.
So you got a national championship of Purdue and UConn.
Purdue and UConn.
All right. Out of the South, I'm going to stay there in that area of the brackets. But I'm going to go with the number two seed, Marquette. Mm. I think they've...
Former school of Dwayne Wade.
Yes. I pretend to say I think they've had a good... I don't know. I've never... I don't watch it. Used to watch college basketball in high school. Huge call. Filled out like seven brackets. They were all busted on night one. You know what? The Midwest is crazy. Let's just throw a higher seed up there. I'm going to go your favorite school.
Going to the Zags?
No, I'm going the Ducks.
Oh, Oregon.
The Oregon Ducks.
My goodness.
Are just gonna, there's always that one team that just gets on a roll. Okay. And I think they're going to get to at least the semifinal. They'll lose to Marquette. So I've got Arizona and Marquette. And I will go with Arizona will win the national championship in Phoenix because they're playing to a home crowd, man.
Yeah.
Wherever they're playing, which I think, I don't know if it's, I would assume it'll be Cardinal Stadiums. I assume it'll be Cardinal Stadium. I can't think of what it is where the Cardinals play, but I assume it'll be a football stadium they'll be playing in. You packed out with Arizona Wildcat fans? Yeah. Wildcat represent.
Oh, that was good. We'll see. We'll see who's right. So but I had to.
You have UConn and Purdue. Who are you picking?
Yeah. Again, I think it's tough to take. I think it's tough to ignore UConn. They've just been way too good. So I'll go with the. I'll go with the Huskies.
So 14, 15, 16 of these. Which is your upset to go the farthest? Because we usually take a
of
nice
this
upset.
Entire bracket.
Yeah.
My upset?
Because I got 11. I got Oregon going pretty far. That's pretty close. But 14, 15, or 16 seeds. The 14s are always tough, but there's always a few different bracket busters. I don't think it'll be a 16 seed this year. I don't see, like, the number ones are just too good.
Give me Charleston.
Where are they?
They're up. They got Alabama in the first round.
Which, oh, the 13 seed?
Yeah, which then would set up a matchup against either St. Mary's or Grand Canyon. So, yeah, give me Charleston.
And I will... let's go... Man. A couple of the 15 seeds, I'm like, well, they're knocking out my number twos that are going all the way. Denny Dorion, you're going to put money on... You're going to put your money on, for me, Longwood to upset Houston. I don't know what your minimum bet is, but that's your lock-it-in bet that all these things are doing now. Please gamble responsibly. Denny and Dorian, Longwood, lock it in, 16 seed, 21 and 13.
Longwood.
But I'll probably watch a few of these games because it's really good basketball.
If I were to ask you what state Longwood University is located in, could you tell me?
No, I would. Kansas?
Virginia.
Oh, no. It wasn't even close. Missed it by that much. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. Those are always fun picks to do. Don't forget, as always, you can follow us on the social medias, Twitter, Moncton Wildcast, Instagram, Wildcast Podcast, TikTok, Wildcast Podcast. And of course, like and smash that subscribe button on YouTube. Don't forget to click the little bell so you'll be notified, especially, A, you don't want to miss a podcast post game. But hey, we might have some playoff watch parties again. I don't know.
Ooh.
You won't want to miss that. We did get a quick question. I know you said the NCAA was going to be our quick question, but we got surprised by a familiar voice. So here is the question.
Hey boys, just in the highway driving to Halifax, thought I'd reach out. I've got a question for you. Since the Christmas break, Moncton has only beaten Cape Breton one out of six matchups. What the hell is going on, and why is Cape Breton their kryptonite?
Sultry voice.
Yeah, I recognize that
voice.
You
know that voice, yeah.
Traitor. Quit the podcast, go to Rogers TV. How's that working out for you?
Yeah, yeah. And don't hope you drive safe.
Yeah.
Seriously, we do, though. Hell of a question, though, especially coming off these last two games we're going to get into a little bit later. But one out of six times, what is with Moncton and Cape Breton and even into last year where they basically ran our show all year?
Yeah. It's quite the difference from the first weekend of the season,
yeah,
you know, to now, right? We more or less dominated the Eagles in the first half. And
4-1 and 9-0 that first weekend.
And then come the second half, the Eagles, you know, they've been fucking up the disco, right? So there's a different it's just a different jar of Dobson's gonna appreciate that one. No, there's definitely been a bit of a change here, and if you want to look at it, you know, it's
open another thing in the highlights that just keep.
Oh, that's it. Stupid Q site and their highlights. But no, there's been a change, and you know, it's you got to think just how much the return of Jacob Newcomb energized the Eagles.
Yeah.
You know, it's if you can get through cancer, you can battle through anything, you know, and I think that's really motivated them in the second half. And you know, they're on an absolute heater right now. Yeah. 7 or 8 wins in a row, and I think they made the right moves at the trade deadline, and they brought in players who they have an expectation that will be back next year. So they made the right moves, and you know, you can look back and say, well, okay, well, you know, they paid 2 second round picks for Sabalka. That's an overpayment. Sure, if he's not back next year, but if he's back next year, that's a very good price to pay. Yeah. Considering, you know, if you look at our roster, the players we've traded for and given up 2 second round picks for, they just haven't had the same impact as a Thomas Sabalka. Mm-hmm. So they've made the right moves, and they're gelling as a team at the right time, and they're heating up as a team at the right time. And I think it's going to be key for us to hopefully avoid them. I don't think they're going to get the 6th seed. They have what it takes to, you know, beat the Islanders at least once or twice coming up this weekend.
Let's go Charlottetown.
Sure, if you want to. I don't want to play Cape Breton. So
no, I don't either, but I wanted them to stay in the 4-5 against Chicoutimi. Like,
yeah. So let's, I think we will avoid them in the first round, which, based on how they've been, you know, on us lately, it's a good thing.
Yeah, and, you know, we had talked about it in the trade show, a team that could overpay for top 6 talent might have been Cape Breton, and they didn't do that because they need a winner. Like they had a fan base issue in the first half, and they've come around on the social media side and the ticket giveaway side, and they're getting people in the building, which just makes the team better. It's better than last year. They ran our show last year, but again, our show after the trade deadline, I said Cape Breton was one of the sneaky good teams this year with Sabalka, and they added Romeo. And then getting Jacob Newcomb back. I think Romeo has been one of their quiet bottom 6 middle forward type ads that has just brings everything you need there. And Louis Robitaille, I mean, you can't discount what he did in Gatineau last year. Maybe it took a little while to get the system in place and get it going, but it's very much been a change. I mean, they won 4-0, 9-1, and 2-1, and then it was 4-3 for Cape Breton, 4-3 for Cape Breton, 5-3 for Cape Breton. We finally beat them 5-2, and then 4-1 and 3-1 last night or Sunday night. So it's been, you know, not nearly as bad, but I just, there's something about it. But I think they've all bought into the system they're playing. Rucci is playing great. And I think bringing Louis Robitaille was a very smart hire for that franchise with what he did in Gatineau, and then getting smart players. It started with Braden Schmidt last year on the back end, and Sabalka this year, which they have a decision to make there. Your 2 20-year-olds going into next year, Schmidt and Sabalka, and then adding Lucas Romeo, I think, was a very sneaky little ad that has paid off big time.
Yeah, I mean, look at it. Do they could bring back Rucci next year as a 20-year-old goalie. But then you got to look at, you know, Malota. Is he willing to be a number 2 again next year, or does he want to be a starter? And if he's okay with that, then you've got Rucia, you've got Sabalka, who could be back as a 20-year-old next season. You've got, I believe, Newcomb, who could be back. Is he?
I think he can be back.
I think he's back next season. You've got Schmidt that could be back next season. They will have some decisions to make, and it's going to be interesting which way they go come next season, because it's, you know, they're going to want to put the best the best team together, right?
Yeah, and if you think we're having trouble with them this year,
yeah. So Newcomb could be back next year. Schmidt's back next year. Rucci is back next year.
I mean, if you're 320,
Sabalka's back next year.
320-year-olds in Cape Breton are Newcomb, Sabalka, and Rucci.
Rucci, yeah, you're doing pretty good.
You're doing pretty good. And even if you believe in Mulata and you move on from Rucci to keep both 20-year-old defensemen, I mean, that's asset management that you can go and get some good players. So, again, we were worried about Bakomo last year, and I think we'll have to, coming into this season and being on the same trajectory, and I think Cape Breton's right there with us. And I think if we avoid Cape Breton and we get that 3-6 matchup with Rimouski, I think Chicoutimi and Cape Breton will be the series of the first round. And I think it'll be – I don't think it'll equal Moncton and Bakomo, because that's awfully tough to have 5 overtime games out of 7. But I think that could be a 7-game series, and a very entertaining 7-game series with how those two teams have played this last month and a half.
Well, if you look at it, I'm so sorry. You said Chicoutimi and Cape Breton. Cape Breton. Never mind. I'm not going to say what I was just going to say, because it's going to be completely wrong. Yeah. But no, you're right. Like, that's going to be a very, very good season. You've got to give the edge to the Eagles just based on the youth that they have in Chicoutimi.
Yeah.
But like we've said for the past few weeks, you can't count out who's behind the bench for the Saguenayans, and that will be the best series of the first round.
And again, that's a 2-3-2. So that'll be an excellent playoff series. But we'll talk about that next week when we finally have more than two playoff
predictions.
Again, thank you to that sultry voice of Chris Dobson. Hopefully, you got to Halifax safe. We appreciate that question. And for anyone that wants to send a question next week, hit me up on the social media DMs and with a voice message, and we'll get to that one. All right, let's get to some news and notes from around the queue, because I think people want us to get there.
News and notes from around the queue.
All right, nothing's happened this week. So moving on to view from the other... No, I'm just kidding. We're going to get to two small things, and then we'll get to the big one that everyone's waiting for. Last Friday's game against the Armada, Sylvain Favreau coached his 200th game in the league. So congratulations to him. He was a big part of Halifax getting to where they got to last year. You had the QMJHL Team of the Week. Again, play the Wildcats.
You get a spot.
Cam Squires of the Eagles, 3 games, 3 goals, 3 assists. Thomas DeRousseau from Sags, 2 games, 4 goals, 3 assists. Yuri Klima from the Cataract, 3 games, 3 goals, 4 assists. Xavier Villeneuve from the Armada, 3 goals, 1 goal, 6 assists in 3 games. Jeremy Langwa, 3 goals, 3 games, 2 goals, 3 assists. And Nicholas Ruccia, 2-0 against the Wildcats, a .968 save percentage and a 1.0 goals against average. Your player of the week is Thomas DeRousseau. 2 games played, 4 goals, 3 assists. And now we get to the elephant in the room. The big news of the week, Jordan Dume. We talked about last week from the Aaron Ports.
Yeah, that's right. You don't have to go anywhere tonight. You can.
I don't, so I'm going to enjoy some passion fruit pineapple sour from the Tire Shack.
That's right. Now I've got to drive home after this, so I'm going to have a nice orange bubbly sparkling water.
Holy shit, that's good. All right. So Jordan Dume, was we talked about last week from Aaron Portsline, tweet was not available till probably the playoffs. And now we know why. So the Mooseheads put out a statement. Halifax Moosehead forward Jordan Dume violated the QMJHL and the team's code of conduct and has been suspended 5 games. Dume, who is back healthy, will miss the remainder of the regular season and the first game of the playoffs. Since this was an off-ice infraction, the matter was handled internally while the team remained in constant communication with the league. The QMJHL and the Mooseheads demand exemplary behavior from all its players, both on and off the ice. Dume's suspension begins March 14th against the Islanders. The team and Dume will have no further comment. So, we're going to be very careful with our words because we don't want to be canceled, and B, this is a real life situation.
Yes. It's before the courts.
Yes. So Do you want to go first, or you want me to go first?
So, I'll start. And I guess it kind of got leaked, what, a week ago?
About 2 weeks ago, yeah. You saw a tweet.
Yeah. Where was I driving to when I think it was driving to St. John last weekend.
You were in the passenger seat because you weren't driving and reading.
No, that's correct. Yeah.
No, you were driving with someone.
That's correct. Yeah, so there was just a random Twitter account that posted about this on X. And looking through this profile, they hadn't tweeted anything else prior to, I guess, their last tweet prior to this one was September of last year.
Right.
So you're like, this is just some guy who's trying to start shit, blah, 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 blah. But then it starts to twickle, you know, there's a domino effect. You've got people from other organizations that are hearing about it. Yeah. And,
I reached out to a source in Halifax and all that's absolutely not true. And
you've got players on other teams that are talking about it. And, you're like, oh, well, this very well could be something.
And nobody was really downplaying it.
No.
Shutting it down.
No. So it's, when was it revealed? I mean, for me, I found out that it was true. When did the Mooseheads release that statement? Was it
the day after the game against the Islanders?
Yeah.
That came out March 15th at 9 a.m. So it was revealed on the lineup sheet March 14th that Dume
suspended
one of five.
Yeah.
Not really sure, A, why that statement didn't come out before the suspension part, so that people aren't wondering.
See, that got people talking a little bit more, and but you just kept hearing more and more and more about it leading up to that date, and it's just is this going to be like, I don't expect this to happen again. In I'm sure it will, but will it be? So will it get the publicity that this one is? It's tough to say. Like I said on Twitter, personally, I feel, and I know I'm not the only one, I think he's getting superstar treatment because let's be honest. And I know on Twitter I used the example of Valdor, which is a poor example because they're not going into the playoffs. But let's just say this was a fourth line player in Chicoutimi. Mm-hmm. Would a fourth line player in Chicoutimi also be suspended for five games? I don't think so. I think it's a longer suspension. Now I say this on Twitter, and of course I've got the Mooseheads Twitter bot accounts coming after me. You'd only want a Wildcats player to be suspended five games if the same thing happened to them. No, absolutely not. If Johan Losing was under the same, or any player for that matter, regardless of who they are and where they play in the lineup, I wouldn't want them around my team for the rest of the season because it is a distraction in the locker room. I think it's going to be a distraction. Like there's going to be fans. It's not going to happen in Halifax, and so it's probably going to end up in Bathurst. There's probably going to be some fans that are going to say some stuff at these players, and it's going to end up being a distraction to the Mooseheads and all this other stuff. So it's I think a little too light on the suspension, and I'm surprised he's playing again this season. I really am. I couldn't believe it. Only five games for a DUI, right? I can't even put it into words. It was selfish for him to do it. Considering the night that it happened, they went out and celebrated following a 2-0 loss to Bathurst. You know,
yeah.
of all nights to go out and celebrate and have a few drinks, that's probably the last night that I would have, you know, if you want to go out, and I shouldn't even say this, go enjoy yourselves as a group and have a bubbly, you know. You are ambassadors to the community. There are kids in Halifax with Dume's jersey, with his name, with, you know, they bought his jersey.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm still struggling to put it into words of how he's eligible to come back in game two.
Yeah.
You know, it says here what the tweet says.
I'm not going to say the
Twitter. No, we're not going to.
I'm not going to put the Twitter handle out there.
It says that it's
Halifax Moosehead superstar and Blue Jackets prospect Jordan Dume catches a Dewey while six times over the legal limit. So that was March 6th.
Yeah. So, I mean.
That's just, if people are listening and don't know you're drinking.
It's my bubbly, folks. It's my bubbly. You know,
two perfectly timed cans opening right there. We're making light of a situation that isn't something you make.
No, we're not trying to make a joke about it. But if this, like for me, if it was Yoann Loesching or Cooper Cormier or Etienne Morin or Ryan Hackett, you know, I wouldn't want them around the team for the rest of the season, regardless of how it's going to affect the locker room or the results in the playoffs. It's just no good. It's and that's what I mean. I think he's getting the superstar treatment. It's a bad look on the league. And I know we've built a relationship with Mr. Cecchini, but I think this is, I mean, he's only a few months into the job, but this is his first, you know, his first bad... His first miss. Yeah, absolutely. No,
I'm with you. I mean, we were all young at one time.
Yep.
We've gone out with friends. We've had some beverages. But again, I'm with you. And this has literally zero to do with the fact that it's Halifax and Moncton.
Mm-hmm.
If Jordan Dume was a superstar for Quebec or Gatineau or Victoriaville, exact same take.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you subscribe to the NHL theory that one playoff game missed is two regular season, cool, six games. Who gives a shit?
So it just leads back to that tweet.
Yeah.
So for every percentage point you blow over the legal limit is how many games you're going to be suspended.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So the source that I reached out to, absolutely, no, that's not true. It's not true. Got back to me about a week before it came out. It is true. Don't say anything. Cool. Then the statement came out, and I was like, all right, it's five games from the team. Four meaningless games. Like, they had things locked up.
Yeah.
They didn't exactly have the why for division title, but they were comfortable. I was like, cool. Let's see what the league does, because they have to do something. And the league, when I read the statement in talks with the league, we've had Mr. Cecchini on, but this is a big miss, because what this has done is set the precedent.
Yeah.
Because like you said, if it was anybody in the red, white, blue, and yellow that we cover, not even a thought that they'd be gone.
We have an owner who is so against the consumption of alcohol that the player would never see the ice ever again in Moncton whatsoever.
Not even trade him. Just outright flat release.
You are gone.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's the difference here.
And I think you were telling me that happened in Lewiston.
Yeah. I think it was 2006 maybe. Lewiston had a very good team. Did they win the championship that year?
I feel like they did.
They had a very good team. They had Jonathan Bernier as a starting goaltender, and they had Travis Fullerton, who would have been coming back as a backup during the preseason. Travis Fullerton gets pulled over for a DUI, released, didn't play another single game for Lewiston. and they had to ride Peter Delmas, which I think he was either 16 or 17 that season. And, you know, Travis Fulton came back. He went and played Junior A for, you know, the Moncton Gang of Evers, rest in peace. And then played some for the St. John Sea Dogs, but he was outright released in the preseason by the Lewiston Maniacs.
So that's, I mean, I subscribe to the superstar treatment as well. And it just, for all that the league has done for the safety of the game, to remove fighting, to have the check to the head penalties, attendance is up. This is not a good look. This is setting a precedence that a DUI is 5-game suspension, especially if it's at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a top six forward, on a team that went to the finals last year and has a chance to compete to go to the finals. Team Canada player. I 100% believe he made a mistake. I believe in second chances.
Mm-hmm.
He's young. Once he gets to the NHL, grows up a little bit. This hopefully is a footnote in a great career for Jordan Dumais. It's like, full stop. Hopefully this is a footnote and he figures this out. But man, a massive miss. And I would have been better, and again, for anyone thinking this has anything to do with the team's rivalry, if they came out and said, Jordan Dumais has been suspended indefinitely pending an investigation.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I know you can't suspend a player who's not healthy enough to play in March. You can do whatever you want.
Because
you could say, pending an investigation, and I believe his court date is game 7 of round 1. So that's at least a month to get ahead of it. At least a month of, even if he is healthy, he can't play. Now, a lot of people would have thought it was just a suspending of a healthy player, whatever. The fact that it happened, thankfully, nobody got hurt. Mm-hmm. That's first and foremost. But again, this is a top guy. A lot of people pegged him to be the CHL player of the year.
Yep.
It hasn't gone well, but this is a major distraction, because if they lose game 1 now and win game 2 and 3, now is, you know, Jordan Dumais is the savior. Thank goodness we only lost him for 5 games. Like,
yep.
You know, it puts an unfair pressure on all of his teammates. I know that they obviously celebrated the win, and I think couple of them missed a game because they missed curfew.
Because they were with him.
Yeah, because they were with him. From what I heard, he was alone. I don't think there was anyone in the car. That's what I heard.
Okay, but, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
There were some... Maybe they weren't with him, but... Well, they were with him but not that, actually, that
yeah,
night.
Yeah. So that just puts a distraction around this whole playoff, and... Mm-hmm. Again, thankfully no one was hurt, but this was a massive miss in an era and a league where safety is paramount. Safety is number one, and it can't happen. And I think even if Halifax came out and said it's a 5-game suspension, and then the league came out and said
on top of that,
he'll miss round 1.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. If he misses round 1, then, you know, if they get to round 2, then you got a distraction no matter what's happening. The other part of this is he's tied for the most goals in franchise history.
Yeah.
And now everyone for the next however many years till they get someone up there will know the reason why he's tied. So not only has he kind of tainted his legacy and his future a little bit until this goes over and hopefully he fixes everything, he's tainted the Halifax Mooseheads' legacy on why Jordan Dumais has the points record, but didn't get the goal scoring record because he didn't play in any of the last regular season games to get that record.
Yep, it's unfortunate, but you know, I'll give another example.
God, this is good.
There was it was the example I used on Twitter. There was a goalie in London that, you know, there was a banned substance found in his pre-workout? Mm-hmm. His pre-workout. And he was suspended 8 games, you know, for just doing what I do before the gym and take pre-workout.
Yeah.
Like, for all I know, I could have a banned substance in my system right now, but I wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
Right? That's a mistake that you have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
Because you buy these supplements from a supplement store who, you know, are legal, that are legal in Canada. They have Health Canada approval.
Yeah.
Right? And that gets you 8 games, but then you have someone who's legal age to drink but makes the decision to get behind the wheel and drive after consuming alcohol. Like, that's not a mistake you can't avoid. That's a mistake you made and have to live with.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference, and I think that's another example where it's like, how does the first example get 8 games and this example only get 5 games? It makes no sense. But this is it. Like, if there is another example of a player in this league in the coming years that's in the same boat, if they are suspended for more than 5 games,
mm-hmm.
it will show proof that there was special treatment. The precedent is set.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the worst part, is the precedent is set for superstars.
Yep. And for
anybody.
Yeah. Like, that's 5 games for a DUI. That's where you're going to go with this.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It's a terrible, terrible mistake by the league. And I know they're probably not going to revisit it, but I see this one coming back to bite them in the butt.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you're, a parent of a kid who makes this mistake down the line, who's not a superstar, and your kid is outright released by the team,
yeah.
You have a grievance with the league because, hey, Jordan Dumais only got 5 games.
So, exactly.
Yeah, it's tough. We're not going to spend quite a bit of time on it. But, again, I went live after the Halifax win, and that was all over the questions. And there's no way I'm going live after a win like that, even if after a loss. We needed time to, A, decide if we were going to talk about it,
mm-hmm.
and, B, craft our words to talk about it.
Yeah.
Properly. And again, for anyone who thinks this has anything to do with a rivalry on the ice,
nope. It has zero. We would be talking about this if it was a player in Val-d'Or
or Victoriaville or Quebec,
because it's in the news and notes,
yeah.
Right? It's just part of our podcast.
And all you have to do is search it up. Search up Stefan LaRue's tweets, search up anybody's tweet who tweeted about it. And we're not the only ones that believe that this is too light of a suspension. So that's where it is.
Oddly
so.
Enough, it's every team around the league, their fans who think it's too light, except for Halifax.
Yeah. Well, they're in a playoff run. All right, let's get to the Weekly Rewind.
Weekly Rewind.
Wildcats go 1-2 on the week, bringing the record to 36, 22, 4, and 3 for 79 points on the season, hanging on by a thread to second in the Maritime Division and holding on by that same thread to third in the conference, which again puts us in a playoff series against Rimouski, which who knows after this weekend what that will look like.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday and Sunday, we're going to group these two games against the Eagles together. The Wildcats lose both on home ice, as we alluded to earlier in the show. The Eagles full-on have a chance at getting to second in the conference now. Thursday was 4-1. Sunday was 3-1. You got any positives?
Do I have any positives? Are we talking about the Eagles games?
Yeah.
I saw no positives. You know, there's the Eagles are a big team. They're big and they're physical. They've got players that are multiple players over 6 foot. Over 6 feet, multiple players over 200 pounds. There are no angels in Cape Breton. No angels. They took care of business. You know, they came to play, and the Wildcats did not, and that's pretty much it. But it's funny because we'll talk about the difference between the two games.
Yes. Yes. There's a glaring difference that you can see now. And yes, it was there when Lacroix went to his daughter's wedding,
but it's even more glaring of the two games. Now, he took a shot off the back of the head, which, again, another Eagles game with another coach involved. Thankfully, he's okay. But just the difference in the two Cape Breton games, I mean, even into the Halifax one, there was a difference mm-hmm. with who's behind the bench, yep. and it's flat out glaring obvious, and it worries me into the playoffs.
Well, it does, and you know what worries me going into the playoffs is, you know, the offense has drowned.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like drown. Like they yeah. are.
They're struggling.
They are struggling. Got some numbers here. I know
stats guy.
I know we're not allowed to call out players, so I'm going to keep it easy.
Yeah.
Loesching, 2 goals in his last 10 games. Collard, who we thought were just going to get 30 goals this season, has 3 in his last 22. Yeah. Lounsbury, 0 in his last 18. Denoyer, this is okay, he's 16. 1 goal in his last 8 games. Ogé, 2 goals in his last 13. The past 4 games, Mueller is the only forward who has scored. That is a concern.
Didn't Sump score?
Past 4 games.
Oh, 4 games, yeah.
If you want to go 5, Sump
scored. Yeah, yeah.
All right? That is a concern. Teams yeah. are starting to figure out what's going on. And that flat out cannot happen. There's an opportunity with these last 3 games to figure it out. Get some of these players to, you know, get the first half flame.
Yep.
You know, the flame that they had in the first half to get going, to ignite again. And this is a good opportunity for it to happen, because the last thing you want to do is go into the playoffs with your top 6, 5 out of your top 6 forwards yeah. on a scoring slump.
Yeah, limping into the playoffs. I mean, you look at the scores. I mean, they lost 3-1 to Cape Breton. They lost 4-1 to Cape Breton. They lost 3-1 to Halifax. Mm-hmm. They lost 5-1 to Baie-Comeau, 7-2 to Charlottetown. Like, for a team that has put up 260, like the goal differential, the only reason that we can still hold on with one win is our goal differential. 260 goals on the league, which I think is top 5,
mm-hmm.
Top 4 in the league, is our goal differential is 40. So we've got that on Cape Breton and Chicoutimi, but they have to get back to something. And 2-3-for-8 on the homestand,
yep.
On the power play.
For the number one power play in
yeah,
the league.
They're hanging on to the number one power play yeah. because of what they did in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said it on the past 3 lives, I think, including the win. I don't know what Grenier's not doing back on that power play.
Yep.
They were having success. Again, I'm not comparing them to the Oilers by any means, and NHL is a different game than the Q. But if you watch the Oilers and the Avalanche play, and when they get on the power play, especially the Avalanche, there is puck movement all over the ice. Those 5 players barely stay in the same spot. There's no movement on the power play. I pointed out a couple times to Layla, when Cape Breton is on the power play, Newcomb is in that bumper spot,
mm-hmm.
and it frees up a whole lot of movement. And you saw it, I can't remember if it was, I think it was yesterday, Saturday. Sorry, Sunday's game. They just had a forward stand by Loesching. And they, half the ice, they went four. They took their chances at 4-on-3.
Yeah, they were blocking shots.
Yeah.
They were.
And that's what teams are doing. They are getting in the way of yeah. Moncton shots.
I'm not a liar here, folks. Like, no liar. They were blocking shots.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, they, and I think whoever's counting the shots here in Moncton, getting a little, you know, trigger happy a little bit.
Yeah. The post isn't the shot.
Because I'm looking at some of these shots on goals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm not counting the same.
No.
You know, and it's like when a player shoots the puck, it doesn't count as a shot. It has to hit the net.
Yeah.
So I think whoever's, like I said, has got their...
Trigger finger.
Yeah, trigger finger going a little too quick there.
Yeah, and it's just the smallest little things. Like, move. Loshing needs to get lost in on that power play. Mm-hmm. Like, he needs to get lost in the shuffle of everything. Bring him right dead center across everyone because he's the focal point.
Yeah.
Bring him across the ice. Allow Denway to go behind the net. Move Lounsbury out to bumper. Collard out there. It just gives you options instead of, and we said this a couple times last year, win the draw, Moran to Loshing, Loshing back to Moran, back to Loshing, 1T in the net.
Yeah. That, it's a power play.
It's, yeah.
It's imagination.
Yes.
It's a power play.
If I can see it.
Think of it. Just come up with ideas.
Yeah.
Use your imagination. Just think of, who was it that was a 5-on-3?
Minnesota.
And they had two guys standing behind
the net.
The goal line, behind the net. Worked perfect.
Yep. Because you got that goalie going back and forth, back and forth, and you're putting stress on the defenseman.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. When Cape Breton's on the PK, they got guys in front of the net that aren't like Collard or whoever the second forward is down low. He's just standing on the side of the net. They don't care. You can't score from the side of the net. They're taking the one guy. When Cape Breton's on there, Newcomb is in the bumper spot in the middle of the slot. They got one guy in there, and that's drawing the defenseman. And now you're stuck with if the pass comes across and what happens. So the game tonight against St. John, I need this as much as the Halifax one. We're going to get to in 1 second. They needed to win. I need this one to at least be 5 goals. I need an offensive output from the guys that we expect to have offensive outputs. Saturday, 475 days in the making, 8 home games, including the playoffs. The Moncton Wildcats finally got over the hurdle of defeating the Mooseheads on home ice with a 3-2 victory in what was an emotionally charged Saturday night regular season playoff game. Full barn. Fans showed up all night. They were loud. It's honestly too bad that the crowds fall off in the playoffs. It's how they market the season tickets without giving the playoff ones away. Because that, you could see it in the players, and I think that had a factor in the Sunday loss too.
Mm-hmm.
You come off that 7 o'clock game emotionally high and have to play again. I don't even know if they would have beat St. John as the trap style game coming in that next night. But, I mean, this was Miles Mueller's show. And seriously, Mr. and Mrs. Mueller, just one more year. Can we just borrow him for one more year? Fans, let's get a GoFundMe to offset the contract.
Well, that's it, yeah.
Can we just keep him for one more year? Because he was dynamite all night.
Yeah. Like Mueller, man, like it's, I hate to say this, but, you know, let's make love in Technicolor, you know. Use all our lights and sounds. You know, it's got to make it happen. We'd love to have him back. We'll probably make Richie's job a little easier.
Yeah.
You know, you never, well, I guess if there could be some conditions if there's, if he does, you know, there's probably some side deals that are already done with conditions and if Mueller's back. But no, it would be, he would definitely be one of the better 20-year-olds in the league next year if we can get him. But no, it's
Does he have a case for MVP?
League MVP?
No. Wildcats MVP. The awards are this week.
Oh yeah, I think he could probably win MVP. I think he's well.
You got Loshing. You got Denoyer. I don't think Denoyer will win the MVP. But
no,
his impact is there. Steinman. Like if you're picking your three, I think it's Loshing. I think
Mueller, could easily win fan. I think Mueller could win fans' choice.
Yeah.
But MVP, yeah.
He's got an awful case. Like,
yeah. In terms of consistency throughout the year, and you know what he does on and off the ice to get the team going. Yeah, for sure. But
because I mean that MCL line was the talk of the league in that first half, and he was a big part of it.
Yeah.
And again, like on one of the lives, if you ask 100 people, will Mueller score 30 goals? How many you think say yes? 5.
Yeah.
Right, like, so I don't think he's done enough. I think it'll still be Loshing because it's a captain. But I think if at the awards, a sold out Riverview Arts Center on Monday the 25th, I think if they want to shock the crowd,
yeah,
I think giving Mueller the MVP is not so shocking, but it's well deserved. He is, and you saw when he went to the juniors, he is the glue line, and that's why we were worried when he was could be traded at the deadline, knowing he wasn't coming back.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, right now, he's my favorite drug. You know, he's probably the guy that I'm most
injected into my veins.
Yeah, he's probably the guy who's I'm excited to go watch every night. You know, he's just got that.
I think the true
that
fans
mentality.
Know, I think they know the impact.
Yeah.
That we will not have. Like that is a. We talked about Kalmakoff and LaBelle and losing that offense. This is a 200-foot player that started as a 10th-round pick that, you know, when he got called up, we were like, cool, one game, two game.
Work. Yeah.
Turned into one of the best PK guys last year and into a flat-out superstar on this team.
Yep. Yeah, it was good. That's a good value pick right there.
Yep. Who needs first when you got 10s, 11s, and 14s
well, that's
hitting?
It, right? We're going to have to need some of those coming up in June, but... No, that's the Mooseheads game. You know, it was.
They needed it. I think that is.
Yeah, they need. That's a that was a massive win.
I feel I was already somewhat confident in a second round series. Not saying we were going to beat them, but finally holding serve on home ice after Halifax held serve on home ice, confidence level went a little higher there.
No, for sure, and it's there's you got to look at it because you could be. Potentially facing them in the second round of playoffs for all we know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can't get too far ahead. You know, you've still got that first round and
matchup dependent.
Match that's it, right? It all comes down to I think personally Rimouski's probably the more favorable matchup right now.
Yeah.
Just on the basis of you know, they will want to win this series because, you know, they are hosting Memorial Cup next year. They're going to want to put some sort of
doubt
or but on the flip side, they want to get their fans excited that they can, you know, make it to the second round. And but I also think their goalie, Quentin Miller, is going to be out till round two. So that could be an advantage for Moncton for all we know. And. You know, I think it's that's who I want to face right now.
Yeah, you look at the Eastern Conference and Baie-Comeau in their last 10-7-3. Halifax is 8-3. Moncton's 5-5. Cape Breton's 7-3. Chicoutimi's 8-2. Rimouski's 5-4. So you just do the math, and you got the weekend set. This is the final weekend of the year. St. John tonight. I need to see an offensive output. I don't want to see a 2-1. 3-2 game, 3-2 win. I don't.
They got to come to play. Yeah.
I need at least five.
They need to get going. That top six, with the exception of Mueller, have got to get going.
Yeah.
You know, especially Killard and Lounsbury. They have to. Yes, they are still playmaking, but they need to score. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just rely on Mueller to get all these goals here. And because there's going to be a time where Mueller's not going to have a game, and then who are you going to depend on?
Yeah.
You know, you got to depend on your secondary scoring at that point. And that's
our first secondary scoring hasn't been there. He is our secondary scoring. Mm-hmm. I will give a shout out to Carrier, Sampson, and Glass.
Yeah,
they were the best line on the ice on Sunday against Cape Breton. A lot of people want Carrier moving up.
Mm-hmm.
You're not alone. But again, like I said on one of the lives, it's a decent problem to have his skill on the fourth line. You saw it against Cape Breton. He took advantage of a lot of matchups. But this is, you got St. John, and then you got Bathurst, which St. John is right in a playoff race with Quebec. So they need these 2 points just as badly as we do. Chicoutimi they had Victoriaville last night, so at the time of this, they could be tied with Cape Breton at 77 points, 2 points behind us. And then the weekend set, you've got Cape Breton and Charlottetown twice. You've got Chicoutimi and Drummondville on Friday, and Chicoutimi and Sherbrooke on Saturday. And then Moncton's got the home-and-home with Bathurst. So Rimouski has Quebec on Friday, and... They don't play home and homes because they're so close. Oh, yeah, they got a home and home with Quebec. So I don't think we're going to know until the final game on Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be Just lock down third. I think. Yeah. I don't care. I mean,
I believe if they get 2 points tonight against St. John with the tiebreakers, I do believe, because when we had Richie on, he said 4 points. Whether it was two wins or two losses by other teams, I think if we get the W tonight, we secure third spot. Mm-hmm. And then depending on how the game between Halifax Max and the Islanders went, we could have a couple forward call-ups.
That's right.
If Halifax goes down, we'll at least maybe bring a defenseman call-up. Again, lost in that, AFG took a hit from Shortall. Not a dirty hit at all, but he was wincing with his shoulder or his upper body. And so I don't know how long he's going to be, but they were playing with four defensemen at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're going to need some defenseman call-ups as 'cause if you're getting into a long playoff run, you need defensemen.
Well, that's true. And, you know, going into this game against St. John, you know, it's if they find a way to lose this game, I mean, rid me of my sins, yeah. You know, then forgive me because I'm sanctified. You know, it's I will not be able to breathe Friday night going into Bathurst if they find a way to lose to St. John on Wednesday.
Yeah, if we face a must win. Oh, man. Yeah, that's just take care of business tonight. I think you've had, I think we're 1-7 against St. John this year. Get to that here. And again, I say we need 5 goals, but if we win 4-1 and the goals are from Loesching and Denoyer and, you know, our top six. Yeah, 7-1 this year, 14-3 in the past 2 years against St. John. Again, they pumped our tires in their years, but This is a chance to get right with the offense, get some guys who haven't scored some goals, and go into a weekend series with Bathurst feeling good, depending on who you're going to be playing in round one. So you ready for everyone's favorite part of the show, or you got anything else?
No, I think I'm good. All right. Let's go. All right. Get me out of here.
All right. Ouch, that hurts.
Eric Murray, realtor, buy your house from him. Stick tap of the week.
So I try to avoid the whole bringing the stick tap tying into hockey at the same time. But we talked about this a couple months ago, how he was left away from the top prospects game.
Yeah.
But I have to give the stick tap to Justin Poirier for what he has accomplished in this season. I mean, the first 17-year-old to score 50 goals in a season since Crosby. That is something.
Yeah.
And, you know, you left him away from the prospects game for God knows what reason. Because he's too small. Cole Caulfield seems to be doing okay. You know, Braden Point seems to be doing okay. Brad Marchand seems to be doing okay. Trevor Zegras seems to be doing okay. You know, I don't understand how you can pass this kid up from a top prospects game. He's going to make all those, everyone at Central Scouting eat their dust.
Yeah.
You know, when he's probably picked in the first 60 picks at the NHL draft. I mean, come on. That's It's still boggles my mind how they managed to omit him, but I wanted to give him a shout out, and also to obviously UNB,
yes,
the Varsity Reds, undefeated season, winning a national championship. Who counted them out anyways when you've got Gardner McNugle behind the bench?
Yeah, I think I made that prediction without really knowing the impact that Gardner McNugle had.
Yeah.
I didn't know. It's almost too easy for UMB. I think next year they can bring the whole team back.
Yep.
And I think what they need to do and what the AUS needs to do is they start every game down 1-0 to give the teams chances, because, like, it's too easy. They didn't give a goal up in the U Sports tournament, 15-0.
Yeah. They're Samuel Richard and
like, Denny Dorion could play for UNB and win a championship. No offense.
Those UNB goalies must have felt alone, you know, back there.
It's 2 shutouts for him, too.
Yeah, that's good. Not even allowing a goal all tournament. Yeah.
And we saw Griffin Outhouse play, and I didn't even know he was the backup.
Well, that's it, right? I just laughed at his name. You know, Outhouse is where I go to take a toilet.
Yeah. From Victoriaville to New Brunswick.
Yeah, it's quite the ride.
Yeah, just AUS needs to give them a 1-0 deficit to start each game, just for something to do. Mm-hmm. And it'll be a national story when whatever team beats them, because I don't know the last time they lost a hockey game.
It's been a while.
As many days as the Wildcats took to beat Halifax? 400 and some days?
Oh, man, it's close.
It probably is close.
It's very close. Yeah.
All right.
The Stick Tap of the Week, sponsored by Eric Murray Real Estate with the RE/MAX Avante team. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the greater Moncton or surrounding area, make sure to check him out on social media or give him a call at 506-863-8802.
And that brings us to the Wildcast Wildcat of the Week, presented by Rosemary Lynn Massage and Spa, which right now till March 23rd, you get a shellac pedicure and a shellac manicure for only $65 as well. Don't forget, they got the loyalty card. When you book 9 spa services, you get 1 free. If you want to take advantage of that, you have a chance to win a $100 gift card. Just call the book at 506-830-1224 or book with them in person at 1224 Mountain Road in the month of March. And this one is probably one of the easier ones. As we stated earlier, the offense is dried up except for one player. He hit the 30-goal mark, which, again, I'll be honest, I didn't see coming. Did you see coming?
No.
Okay. He had 4 goals on this homestand, including his first hat trick as a Wildcat. I had to look that up. I was like,
also didn't know.
I was like, he's had to have had a hat trick before. Like, because I just looked this season, there I was. I was like, well, he's got to have had one. His first hat trick. He's got 7 goals in 2, 4, 6, 8 games. 7 goals in 7 games this month. So he's heating up at the right time. And again, like I said earlier, we've asked his parents if we can borrow him for just 1 more season. Just that's it. 1 more season. But your Wildcat of the Week is #17. # corners are his babies. Mm-hmm. Miles Mueller. And if you want to see him play and you don't have a ticket to the fan bus.
To Bathurst. Because what lovers do is go on fan buses.
Yeah, we do. You can contact the Wildcats Face fans group on Facebook and get on the bus. $55. I think it ended Monday, but I'm pretty sure if you and 2 of your friends wanted to go,
we could probably shove a couple bodies in the storage equipment, luggage thing part, and
$55 gets you a seat on the bus.
Make some more revenue.
Gets you a ticket to the game. You know what else it gets you to do? You get to
witness the paradise of Bathurst, New Brunswick, and the legend.
Yeah, you get to meet friend of the show and legend, Johnny Rocket. You better be there.
Yeah.
I've introed you now. Like, we have to, cut this for a short. You have to be there, Johnny Rocket. We're calling you out.
I want to meet your son.
Yeah, Loic. We need to meet this guy.
Like Lowrick, like a DJ.
Yeah, so that might be his new, that might be on the end of the drop for the Snake Tap of the Week. Johnny Rocket, you better be there. Hopefully the Wildcats get it done tonight on the road. Mm-hmm. Lila and I will be there to get all the action if they clinch that playoff spot. And
are you going to St. John?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
You never asked me.
Do you want to go?
No.
Okay. you don't make it up past 9 o'clock, so there's no way you're.
I'd be passing
on
out.
A weekday, passing out in the back seat. Going up there, and I just don't want to go to Bathurst on the bus, needing a must win. That will be, for Jeremy, I'm Adam. See you next week as we preview the QMJHL playoffs.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.